Blog Talk Radio.
Windows dubstep at y'all on a Wednesday.
You know you like it.
Love me, Corey.
You know what? Are you trying to play the love card?
Don't you love me, Corey?
Are you trying to play the love card?
Why don't you love me, Corey?
I do love you. I love you this much.
Leroy Jenkins!
Love right there.
Ah, that's two in a row, y'all. That's two in a row.
They not even know what to do with all that love.
In case you do not know where you be, it's lunch with Ginger and Corey. You didn't know?
I don't know where you be.
Yeah, some of them don't know where they be. They don't know where they are. They just kind of tune in. They kind of fall across us. They're not really sure. Why is my switch update not taken?
What do you mean, why is your switch update not taken?
Well, I was updating our date and everything a while ago, and I hit save. I come back. It's still not saved. What is that about?
No.
Is it Ginger, are you misbehaving? You might be.
Is it a day of the week?
Yeah, that'd be Ginger causing mayhem, havoc.
No. Ginger has been too busy building her underground railway this morning to, well. to get into much trouble today. I started my own Minecraft server, and once I get it up and all protected, I will be inviting some of you gamers who've been wanting to come play with me.
You get a beta key. You get a beta key.
Yes. You may have to forgive me because I'm playing with some of these plugins, and I'm kind of looking at building one of my own.
Uh-oh.
So,
will there be a charge for a server?
No. It's only a 20-slot server because it's a private server. It's hosted on my own computer at home, or one of my computers at home, because I didn't want to pay the, like, $5 to, it's $5 for, like, a 10-slot one if you pay somebody else to host it for you. And I was like, why, when I can do it myself, and I can set it up to where I can have 20 people come and play on my own, and I've got towers just sitting here. So.
You know what? I got a stack of them behind me. When you said that, I turned around and said,
Seriously.
What am I doing with all of y'all? I got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Someone looking at the price because, you know, I want to play with several of my friends, and I've been playing on these other people's servers, but I can't police other people's servers from griefers.
Yes.
No.
Yes, and then I would gladly let Baby Nature come and play with you because I know you'd look out for her.
Yes, I would.
Of course, she would. Do you want to know what she built the other day in Minecraft before she got banned? Giant versions of her Minecraft avatar.
Well, then her and I have something in common, except that it was my own avatar. I created Bender from Futurama.
Oh, God. I'm not even going to tell her you did it, because she's going to be like, I want to do it! She loves Bender.
He's not very good. I'm going to have to take him down and redo him. He's going to be where you land when you come to my server.
Oh, she built a lot, big old huge versions of her avatar and of her cousins with a big pink bow. And she said,
aww.
Pretty good, huh? Says, you scare me.
She is so cute, and she's got so much talent.
You got too much time on your hands. But there will be no Minecraft in today, so y'all, my whining will ensue. I will whine by proxy for y'all via Twitter, what she's telling me. All right.
Aww, poor baby.
I got to give this to Ginger.
Okay, what do you give me?
I got a link for you. I got a link for me? I need to let the people know that they need to get ready. They need to get ready.
Here's the window. Okay. Run. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Run for your lives, people. Run for your lives.
Scared, Corey. I'm scared.
All right, we have been telling you about this every year. We mentioned
watching yesterday, Run for Your Life, the zombie race, zombie infested obstacle course.
God, look at that makeup.
Right? All right, so.
Those thorns look like some serious business.
Yes. No, yeah, you don't want to play around with them. Wait a minute, what happened to my page? I had a page with a listing of the races. I'm crazy. I got too many pages open. All right, so you got a couple of races coming up. If you're looking for one near you, you can go to the website, runforyourlife.com, and they have all the maps laid out. So the next one coming up, you people in Ohio, on the 25th is the next race coming up. They have no more slots for zombies, so you cannot be a zombie in Ohio. Also, June 1st.
Oh, my God, did you see the clown?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
I watched it beforehand. I was like, oh, God. But, okay, people, Ohio, Dallas, and New Jersey, you cannot be zombies anymore, and that's 25th for Ohio, June 1st for Dallas, and New Jersey, June 8th. No more slots for zombies. They are about between 80 to 85% full as regular runners. Now, some of you are like, I have heard of this. I don't know how it works. Real easy, you get in there and you run. You run. You're either infected or you're not.
Get in there and you run.
Run. They tell you, this. Somebody, part of their FAQs is, how do I train for the zombie race? It's simple. You watch zombie movies and you run. You cannot bring weapons, people. You cannot hit people in the face. I know it would be fun to do so, but you cannot bring any weapons. If you're watching the trailer with us, you notice you have on flags, and this is how it works. If somebody, one of the zombies catches you.
They should totally let us have, like, paintballs. If we shoot a zombie, it's out.
Okay, girl, see, that's dangerous. Somebody would get hit in the face with them paintballs. You know they hurt.
Right, maybe not paintballs, but something.
Maybe you could. Cool. Maybe
we have flags. They should have flags.
Well, maybe. You know, that'd be interesting. Okay, that's actually an interesting idea. Maybe they'll incorporate that. But anyway, if they take all your flags, obviously you become an infected. And even if you finish the race, infected or not infected, you get a medal for each one. Of course, if you come back infected, then that's not as good as coming back clean. The survival stats to date, I love this on their site. Survival stats, if you look there to the right, while Ginger has the trailer, there's way more infected than there are survivors. 76,483 infected versus 39,140 survivors. You people got to run faster.
No kidding, right?
I think so many people want to be caught. They're just like, Oh, Mrs. Zombie, take my phone.
Sexy stuff. Oh, God, yeah. People, heads up, by the way, do not Google zombie porn. Don't do it. Don't.
Oh.
I warned you. Why are you Googling it? Don't do it. Told you not to.
Is there really zombie porn?
Oh, yes, there is. There's really, really, really zombie porn, and it is really, really disgusting. And by disgusting, I mean I had to stop as I was talking about it to get the image out of my head.
All right. Now, those of you who are going to be going out to the race also need to know they will allow little people, but only over the age of 14. So they got to be 14 and over. I don't know that I would even allow 14. That's kind of dangerous because, you know, people get to run in and get all excited, and they might hurt them. But you might know some tall 15-year-olds that are able to, you know, hold their own. Again, do I need to stress, no weapons?
No weapons, folks. No weapons.
And keep in mind, this is not just...
I know some of you are like, well, that's not real. We would have weapons.
It's
but
an obstacle course race. You can...
It's for fun, people. It's for fun.
I want to say there's a charity involved, but I'm not sure. But some of you could race as part of a charity. Why don't you get a group of you and go down, and you can say, if we finish not infected, we'll, you know, and you pledge so much money. There's all kinds of things you can do with this. You can turn it into a charity if you want to. But it is an obstacle course. If for some reason you cannot make obstacle course, I am not looking at that, Ginger. I refuse. No, I refuse. I'm not looking. I already had running with porn the first time I ever got on the internet, and I still have that image in my head, and that was 1992. No. And I got to get that image out of my head. Anyway, if you cannot, of course, or you can go around it, but there's zombies on the outsides of the obstacle course. There's doctors on site, so don't worry. If you pass out, you fall out, you end up getting hurt,
there's somebody on site. Pretty much they've covered every contingency, but I need to tell you, please do not bring any weapons. I need to stress that. Do not bring any weapons. Bring your photo ID.
Weapons and you get your ass kicked, you had it coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell you, anybody who's willing to dress up like a zombie is some ferocious people.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you get your flags taken, you do not automatically transform into a zombie. You cannot start running and chasing people down, okay? So there's a process. Make sure you check in with the rules before you get started. No weapons, no mock weapons, no drugs, no alcohol, no food or outside beverages permitted. They say you can bring bottles of water, sports drink, and energy drink up to 1 liter. No alcoholic beverages by anyone under age 21. Why you would want to get drunk and try to run is beyond me. No pets are allowed, period.
No pets allowed, period?
No pets allowed on the event grounds. You know, you have to think about it. If you have a dog, and most people who have dogs will attest to this, your dog, even though they may not get along well with you, are still protective of you because you feed them. So you're running, somebody chasing you, the dog is going to go after them. Somebody's going to get...
That's true. And that's true.
The dog doesn't know that we're pretending, so it's going to get you. If you want to go and take pictures and videos, they're saying you're welcome. You must find a... some kind of something before you do so, pretty much. Some of this is just self-explanatory. I need to stress again, no weapons, no mock weapons, no real ones. Please don't bring any weapons, people. I'm stressing that because for some reason that is worrying me today. But you could go over to runforyourlives.com, check out some of the pictures. I got to say, I probably want to start as an infected.
I was thinking about it. I'm not quite sure what I'd want to do.
Maybe I'd be mid-transformation. But it looks to be a whole lot of fun. It's in most states, South Florida, North California, Ohio, Dallas, Texas. I want them to come down here to Houston, though.
That does look like there is one in, well, I don't know about Houston. No, there's one in Austin.
Yep, there's Austin. There's New Jersey, Indiana, Colorado, Minnesota, New England, Pennsylvania, New York, which I imagine is just loads of fun. Seattle, Georgia, Illinois, South California, Maryland, Missouri, Arizona, and Central Florida. So that's quite a few states. And some of you may be able to host one in your own city. Ask them. They have apocalypse parties and everything. Nice.
Apocalypse?
Yeah, they have an apocalypse party. They got food. They got music. It's a good time. I think it's a good time.
That does sound like fun. I want to do that. They had a zombie run here in my itty-bitty town this past year. And I was a little bit sad I wasn't able to go to it.
Is that when you were sick?
When am I not sick anymore? But yeah. They do. Seriously. No. Poor Ginger. I'll live. I wanted to go, but no.
I'm not looking at it. Look, I'm canceling that image. See?
Come on.
I just ate new. No.
Come on, Corey.
Oh, no.
Now you want to look at it.
No, I do not want to look at it. I refuse. And I'm
checking it out. All right. Well, I guess it is my go. The ESA wants you to know that E3 is still vital to the industry.
Yeah, that was one of my tips. Nice, Ginger. Nice.
Yeah. The ESA decided to speak to Games Industry International for a feature article. The senior vice president of communications and industry affairs, Rich Taylor,
mm-hmm.
gave his opinion that the annual Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is happening next month, is still very much relevant to the industry.
Boo!
Yeah, he says, it's interesting. I've been at ESA now for 6 years, and that question has come up pretty much every year. I think the show answers the question itself through the level of attendance and participation from the news that comes out of it, and remains extraordinarily not just relevant, but vital to the industry. And vital to those who want to share news through billions of impressions that come out of it. When we convene the show, all the attendant eyeballs and ears are pointed towards Los Angeles to see the news that comes out. He goes on to say the feedback from attendees, exhibitors, and ESA member companies have been positive, and the show isn't a sweet spot.
Mm-mm.
He says right now the overwhelming finding is that there are now. Right now, the overwhelming finding is where we are now is a really positive sweet spot folks feel good about the room they have for their exhibit space, meeting room, options, the number of attendees is still large enough to get all the principal folks that people hope to encounter during the show into LAFCC, but also not so overwhelming that you can't actually play and experience the games themselves, which is, of course, a key part to the show. I think people really are fairly thrilled about what we have now and the model we have now and the size we have now, the timing we have now, and that seems to be where the model will sit for the foreseeable future. On one hand, I want to say no. I hate E3. I don't like where it's gone. On the other hand, not been. So it's my opinion. Grain of salt, you know, whatever.
What you're saying on TV is pretty much it.
Well, see that with PAX. I mean, you've got these companies that come in and show their games, but you pointed out something very, very true. And we thought at RTX, getting in to play these games when there's a whole bunch of people who aren't there from the media, that there's just fans that are there, it's a pain in the ass.
Indeed. They
E3 is needed.
I think E3 needs to go back to what they were doing because they are not they're not catering to the media, which is what they're supposed to be doing. And PAX is supposed to be catered to the players.
True.
So both of them are putting their toes in each other's ponds and not doing it very well at that because PAX, I know PAX is like, oh, we get a ton of people, we're fine. But in, you know, a few coming years, remember you got another generation coming that is not going to see the point of going to PAX. Remember, they're going to be all digital. Baby Nature 6th generation will never probably see a hard copy of a game unless she sees one, you know, lying around here. Because all of our stuff is going digital, and then they're going to wonder, why exactly would I go to you to play? Just send me the demo digitally. why'd I have to come
Very
to you?
Very true. Very true.
And I don't really like anybody else. I got my little group of friends here, and we have a good time. We're fine. Why do I got to travel cross country? So it's going to happen that you all are going to have to adjust a little bit to keep the people coming. E3, you're supposed to be media-centric, and that's all that should be there so that we can come and cover and cover things. Because right now we have the bigger media groups that go and cover E3, and they never hit the other halls. Little do people know, there's not just Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony at E3. There's pretty much every company that makes a game, but the rest of them get pushed in the back of this other hall like little redheaded stepchildren, and they get no media coverage. Well, they do, but that doesn't mean that they're bad games. Some of them are great. Like that thing we were looking at that you use your brain to control, remember that? I saw that at E3 in 2006, and it was in a back hall somewhere, and I was all amazed. I was like, why is nobody over here covering this? And, of course, I couldn't right then because somebody was interviewing me for something. So I was like, I got to get over there. And I never did get back to them, but I saw it then, and it's just now making its way out because somebody decided, oh, let's pay attention to them now. But it was already there years ago. So they need to revamp and stop with all the booth babes and all this stuff because that's not what it's supposed to be about. You're supposed to be showing off your stuff and you're supposed to let media be able to walk around so that we can bring it back to the public and say,
exactly,
look at what all is going on. Then when they go to PAX is when you're supposed to hit them up. You want to pre-order right here? I'll give you a jacket. If you pre-order right now, look, there's a jacket. Look, it's a real
hotness.
Yeah, that's where I got my Champions Online backpack. That is one of the best. I don't know what they made that thing out of. Oh, my God, that's like the toughest backpack. I have carried it on planes. It's been dropped in mud. It's not even dirty. It just, water just, mud just rolls off of it. Wonderful. Game sucks. Good swag. All right, I'm rambling. You're not supposed to let me do that. Okay.
How dare you ramble, Corey?
How dare I? I got a couple stories here.
What you got?
EA is rolling the dice. That's right.
On what?
Again, I had to do the dice rolling movement. EA has opened a new dice studio in Los Angeles, setting a target of recruiting 60 staff before the end of the year after they've gone and fired people. I don't understand it. According to the report in the Wall Street Journal, the new studio will be an integral part of the company's push to create Star Wars games after striking a long-term licensing deal with the Walt Disney Company last week. This is so ugly. Ugh. DICE Los Angeles has been seeded with employees from EA's global studios, including a number of core staff from the Medal of Honor team. I love Medal of Honor. That's a good game that gets no love. Oh, God, have you ever played Medal of Honor?
I have not.
That was a wee star right there that didn't get a whole lot of love. Man, some of you guys out there with the first-person shooters think you can shoot? Try just playing it on a Wii, a Medal of Honor, where you actually have to aim with the Wiimote. That was hardcore. you see if you could snipe with that. Speaking from DICE's Stockholm office, General Manager Carl Magus Trodsen cited the need to draw the same talent from the same...
Sorry, did you just say Trodsen?
Trodsen. Jodison cited the need to draw from the same talent pools as its rival as a principal reason for the choice of location. He said there is an extreme talent pool over that we want to be a part of. You know what? Your English is not great, dude. It's no secret that our main competitor is here. The Call of Duty Studios, Treyarch, and Infinity Ward are indeed both based in Southern California, which means you should have came to Austin and staked out some whole new territory. That's what I think. Johnson insisted that the new office will retain some culture as DICE's Swedish base, the same culture as DICE's Swedish base, with decision-making achieved by consensus and even-handed treatment with employees, with families. Chodson believes that his philosophy, along with the opportunity to work on big-budget Star Wars projects, will allow DICE to compete from the very best talent in the industry, which is actually in Austin, sorry, including people already working People stood up and cheered.
He said, "People called you out, folks."
I did. People stood up and cheered when I announced that we were working on Star Wars. He said, "For me, it's a boy's dream come to life. I've grown up with Star Wars. The establishment of a AAA studio indicates how important the Star Wars deal could be for the future of EA. The company recently cut 10% of its entire workforce. Around 900 people should be 840 because you should have put those people on the Star Wars team in an effort to reach a 20% operating margin," so they said. And I got one other big news, big, huge.
What you got?
This came out actually, a little while ago, I guess. Maybe? What's today's date? Yeah.
16th.
Well, it was 1 a.m. this morning when it made its way around to us. Windows update! Windows Blue! Woo-hoo!
Windows Blue? Is this the new?
Well, J.P. Morgan Technology and Media and Telecom Conference today, Microsoft Chief Marketing Officer Tammy Reiler announced that the codename Windows Blue update for Windows 8 is going to be released as Windows 8.1. It'll be free for your operating system and available.
It better be free.
The Windows.
Charging me because you screwed up.
The update, they say, will be akin to service packs released for previous versions of Windows and will include performance and usability improvements. Windows 8.1 is also rumored to offer a solution for the missing start button, which I had a whole conversation for an hour and a half with the old lady about yesterday. "Where the hell is my start button?" she says. I was like, "I don't know, ma'am. I didn't write it." So
she was hot.
Yes. Supposedly, it'll deliver the latest new innovations across an increasingly broad array of form factors, of sizes, display, battery life, and performance, while creating new opportunities for our ecosystem. It'll provide more options for businesses and give consumers more options for work and play, said Reiler at the conference. This is also according to Pocketlint.com. I love you guys' site. The Windows Blue update is also an opportunity for us to respond to the customer feedback that we've been closely listening to since the launch of Windows 8 and Windows RT. From a company-wide perspective, Windows Blue is part of a broader effort to advance our devices and services for Microsoft. A public preview of Windows 8.1 will be available on June 26th, the first day of the Microsoft Build Developer Conference. The company says the preview will be available on Windows 8 and Windows RT. Windows 8 crossed 100 million licenses sold earlier this month. At the time, Reiler said that the update would add more robust support for 7- and 8-inch tablets. Since we've made sure from the product to our pricing and offerings that we are supporting 7- and 8-inch devices specifically, Blue does a nice job of optimizing those small screens' form factor sizes, Reiler said. And you shouldn't be bragging about the 100 million licenses because you forced people to buy them. It wasn't because they wanted it.
True story.
You couldn't find Windows 7, and if you were buying a new computer, you had no choice. So stop bragging about your little 100 million mark. You forced people to do that. You put a gun to our heads, a digital gun.
True story. Seriously, when I redid this computer, and they were like, "I'm sorry, you can't buy Windows for this." I was like,
"Windows,
watch me. I will find a way around, and anybody who wants to know the way around, I will totally teach you. And Microsoft, you can suck it."
No.
Yeah, I was like, "I'm not buying Windows 8. I am not buying Windows 8." And I did not buy Windows 8. They couldn't. They tried. All right, so Magical Wizard.
Is it Magica?
It is Magica. If I can find my. There we go. I had a press release. There we go. Magica Wizard, first ever stream. What the hell happened?
Yay!
Yay! Paradox Interactive, a publisher of games. Sorry, that should say amazing and awesome world mind-blowing game.
That's right.
Screens.
That's right.
Today released the first ever screenshots for Magicka Wizard Wars, the 4-on-4 team-based PvP title from their new studio, Paradox North, using an untested image capturing spell that may or may not have stolen the souls of every wizard pictured in the new screens. Paradox is more than willing to take that risk in order to give the world its first look at Magicka Wizard Wars in action, which I am showing you on the screen right now. They're not screenshots, but this is the video, which is even better, in my opinion. In Magicka Wizard Wars, two team of four wizards each will tackle Tango and possibly Ninja Tangy Tangerines in pitched battles, utilizing the iconic dynamic spellcasting of Magicka, along with some new tricks. In true Magicka fashion, wizards who can think fast and aim away from their allies' faces.
I can't.
Win the day. With short battles, skill-based spellcasting, and an overabundance of marvelous robes, Magicka Wizard Wars aims to provide multiplayer aficionados with a new option for PvP mayhem. All right, so if you want to check this out, you want to get in on the action, and you do, I promise you, you do, you won't be disappointed, wizardwars.com. Seriously, Magicka is amazing. Go check it out.
Indeed it is.
I can't even think of a bad thing to say about it. No. That's how awesome this game is.
Just that you don't want to play with me.
don't play with Courtney. Hello, Joe. Good morning, Joe. We missed you yesterday. What did you bring us? Where is our offerings since you were gone yesterday, Joe?
Mwah.
And by offerings, I mean I need some hot chocolate.
I will take a brownie, thank you. Mm. I will take a brownie.
But look at that. Magicka Wizard Wars.
I want to play. All right. Ginger's going to be real happy about this next story.
What you got? What you got?
No more angry birds.
Yay!
Well, not exactly. After years of planning. I'm sorry. According to Games Industry Biz, Rovio Entertainment has finally pulled the trigger on its long-awaited move into third-party publishing. The Angry Birds creator today unveiled its own mobile publishing brand, Rovio Stars, which I kept running across and was trying to figure out what is this? Would not download onto my app store. The first two projects out of Rovio Stars have already been confirmed. The label will launch with the release of Icebreaker, a Viking Voyage. It's not Angry Birds, Ginger. And an iOS game from London-based Natrome that lets players guide a lone protagonist to safety by slicing up the icy levels to solve physics puzzles. The second game will be Tiny Thief, a medieval stealth-based puzzle game from Barcelona-based 5Ants. Yes, Tiny Thief. Yes. I said we want to help developers to give those games that last coat of polish, publish games, and find their audience. Rovio Director of Development, Kim, call you KK because that's your initials. There you go. So we're focusing on a small select number of games, and each Rovio Stars launch will be an event of its own. They are currently accepting submissions from you developers out there who want to be a part of the Rovio Stars program. The company is looking for games with cross-generational appeal that are already playable. Games that get picked up will benefit from Rovio's marketing and PR resources, of which they have a ton. Developer feedback, and of course post-production assistance to bring the game to the app stores. I think you all should get in on the ground floor. This is how Play First made Diner Dash all kinds of famous and made their money. They're kind of doing the same thing. Play First created Diner Dash, and then they started jumping on everybody. Nice.
That is true. All right. So, for my next
trick.
Story, my next trick. Sure, we can call it that. ECA teams up with AllPlayers.com. The Entertainment Consumers Association, the ECA, and AllPlayers.com have apparently given me a pop-up warning, which I'm going to show you today.
chirp.
Anyways, where was I? They have inked a deal to bring AllPlayers group and member engagement software system to ECA members.
That could have gone all kinds of wrong, just so you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The company will work with ECA to implement the technology into various websites. AllPlayers.com teams up with entertainment. AllPlayers.com, an industry leader in group and member management systems, is pleased to announce the Entertainment Consumers Association. Association, ECA, is a flagship customer in the consumer entertainment space. You know what? This is boring. Never mind. I don't care. So you can manage groups better. Whoop-dee-doo. There have been forums doing that for years. All right. So let me talk about this instead. ECA, how dare you send me something I thought was going to be exciting and it wasn't. GameShine, an education grants competition. That's right, folks. There's a grant up for competition. The U.S. Department of Education announced the winners of this year's Small Business Innovation Research, SBIR, contract awards. The SBIR funds are earmarked for small businesses using cutting-edge R&D to develop technologies to solve tough problems. Half of those contracts are game-related in some way. Either they are for games or using game technology in a creative way. The SBIR program at the Institute of Education Sciences, the IES, offers up to $1.5 million to small businesses for the R&D commercially viable education technology products. The program holds an annual competition and awards funds in several phases. Phase 1 awards up to $150,000 for 6 months to create a prototype and research to demonstrate functionality and feasibility, while Phase 2 awards up to $900,000 for 2 years and leads to the full-scale development of the product, and small number of fast-track awards are also made each year for funds to cover work in both Phases 1 and Phase 2. The winning 2013 IES SBIR awards for games this year are World Explorador from Curricula Works, Readorium Rising Reader, smart nonfiction comprehension software for students in grades 3 through 5, Transmedia, augmented reality game for essential transfer of science, Second Avenue Software, Science for You, game-based K-2 STEM education for teachers and students. Phase 2 awards went to Hall of Heroes, an interactive social tutoring system to improve and measure social goals for students in preparation for transition to middle school. Go Games, meeting Common Core standards with tablet-enhanced multiplayer role-play games. Empire is the first socially networked story-based math game. Teachly, math facts, design and development of intervention software for promoting single-digit operational fluency. Oh, good Lord. Shorter names, people. Numbershire 2, development of a second-grade game-based integrated learning system to target whole numbers and operations in base 10 and operations in algebraic thinking. And the Fast Track Phase 1 and 2 award winners were Dynamic E-Learning to improve post-secondary transition outcomes for secondary students with high-functioning autism. That's awesome. Mission US, an interactive solution for middle school history learning. SciSkill Quest, a standards-based game to develop students' scientific skills, academic mindsets, and learning strategies in science. And that was from Mindsets Work Incorporation. Yay! So way to go, winners. I never heard of this before. That's awesome. I'm glad to see that games are going for a good thing, like helping gamers. Helping students. Yay! So, hit and go. All right, it is up.
Is it me? Is it me?
It's your turn. What is it?
Oh, that is a lovely little creation, which I have lost the story for. Oh, no, there it is. All right, this is from our friends over at VentureBeat. This, what you're looking at on our screen, is called the Twitter Hate Map. It shows where racist, homophobic, and offensive tweets originate. Students at Humboldt State University in California.
I am ashamed, Texas.
Oof. States at Humboldt State University in California, students, I'm sorry, not states, individually reviewed 150,000 geocoded tweets containing racist, homophobic, or otherwise offensive terms to build a hate map indicating where people in the U.S. are the most bigoted. Wow. I wish I could say I was surprised. Or at least that where they're most open about displaying their antisocial views. The picture does not look good for us here on the eastern side of the United States, although admittedly the bulk of the population is on the eastern side of the United States as well. Areas in Virginia, North Carolina, yes, Texas, and Alabama show up bright red on the map, as do areas in more central states, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota. The map is part of a larger project called Geography of Hate by Humboldt State Professor Dr. Monica Stevens. The data that forms the map comes from an analysis of every tweet posted between June 2012 and April 2013 that contained at least 10 designated hate words, including, and you might want to cover your ears, I'm going to say them, dyke, fag, chink, gook, wetback, and cripple.
into it yesterday. He was apparently just trolling his other friend, but he started doing some serious, like, hate, and I was like, yeah, so here's how this is going to go down, because you're a douchebag, and I'm unfriending you. He's like, you're not really going to do it? I was like, I already did it.
Bye. But while the original list of tweets was generated by a machine, every single one of the 150,000 tweets containing one of the target words by individual was individually examined by undergraduate students. That's a lot of work. As the project description states, because of algorithmic sentiment, analysis would automatically classify any tweet containing hate words as negative. This project relied upon the HSU students to read the entirety of the tweet and classify it as positive, neutral, or negative based on a predefined rubric. Only those tweets that were identified by human readers as negative were used in this analysis. That's how you do a flipping science experiment there. That's how you do it. To protect the identity of potentially racist, homophobic, or otherwise bigoted Twitter users, the tweets were aggregated up to the county level, and counties with high levels of hate speech were colored red on the map. So they don't say exactly who's saying it, but yeah, we know where you be. Areas with moderate levels, though still higher than the national average, are varying shades of blue, and unshaded areas were below the national average. Smaller towns seem to have a higher incidence of hate speech. In Virginia, for example, Palmyra is more hateful on Twitter than Richmond, and in Louisiana, New Orleans and Baton Rouge are less hateful than smaller towns nearby. Go figure. But isn't this an amazing little find?
That is an amazing little find, actually. On one hand, I want to say, you know, I'm totally shocked and I'm surprised and flabbergasted that people would be this way. On the other hand, some of you people are just jerks, just straight up jerks, and y'all disappoint me.
I mean, you can't even see some of West Virginia. You can't even see West Virginia.
I know. And seriously, like, most of the South, West, or Southeast Coast is gone, and y'all talk about us Westerners being bad.
Ooh, man.
I mean, look at this. This is, and you can't even say this is just the South. Look at the North.
Good gracious. Montreal, really? Y'all got a little bit there?
I'm looking at Fort Worth, and I see my hometown, and it's completely covered, which does not surprise me, which is why I don't live there anymore, because you're all punks. But,
okay, so as you zoom in, like far out, it looks bad, but as you zoom in, you start being able to zero in on little towns and things that are bad. Yeah, I know about Victoria, Texas, and Beeville. I've been there before, honey. These areas in Louisiana, yep, DeRidder, yeah, we used to avoid DeRidder.
Yep, yep, yep. There's my hometown.
Would not go
areas. To areas. There's my hometown area. Corey is down in
Houston.
This area.
We got a little bit in spring. That's about right, because when I lived there, yes. My family's from Elmo.
Ginger is in this area. Oop, oop, oop. Ginger is in this area. This area. Texas. This is where Ginger's at. People always ask, where's Ginger? I'm in Texas. Where? In Texas.
Jay says, oh, my beloved North Carolina, your hatred knows no bounds. How embarrassing. Yeah, I'm. There are places where my family's from in Alabama that are so racist that some of the people still think they're in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, the civil rights movement. There are some white people that don't want you to go into establishments. Yes, they still have no colors allowed here signs in some places, smaller towns. I kid you not.
Out, look, that's the whole east of the country. Whole east of the country. Gone. Just gone.
Wow. I can't say I'd be surprised. I can't
say.
And
I'm like, why is Texas not completely covered? Because there's a lot of Texas that's not populated. Just a lot of Texas just empty. There's nothing.
That's where I want to go live.
Yeah, the sand doesn't hate so much as it just, you know, hates everybody.
Did I tell you the game we were playing on the way up to RTX? Well, and only another Texan would get this. You know how you drive through parts of Texas where there really is nothing. It's just road.
Yeah.
And there's maybe a house sitting there. And I kept saying, this is where the zombie apocalypse is actually going to start, because all those people in those houses are already dead. Because they look, there's really people. There's no cars around these houses. They're just sitting there. They're over.
No, there are. There are just communities that just up and disappeared.
Yeah.
And the houses and the schools and everything are still there.
They're still sitting there. And it's so I said, yeah, this is where the zombie apocalypse is going to start. So every time we pass by a house, I point out to danger, dead, dead inside, dead, they're dead, and they're dead. Drive by quicker, drive faster, they're dead.
You're so morbid.
Hey, I like my morbidity. keeps me real.
I didn't exactly say it was a bad thing. I just said you're so, you know.
I am.
All right. London.
Is that Laura Croft there? I see.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. All right. Our British folks who we love so much. MCM London Comic Con to stream esports quarterfinals this weekend. MCM London Comic Con's esports competition is hotting up.
Hotting up. Okay, thing.
All right, this weekend sees our inaugural League of Legends tournament reach the quarterfinal stage, and MCM Esports will be live streaming a selection of matches over at twitch.tv/MCM Esports. The tournament is currently on its second round, with the 32 teams having battled it out for the right to rule Summoner's Rift. Veteran UK teams Beast Multigaming and British Tea Time, both of the European Professional Challenger Series, join rising superstars Circle Attack and Chaos Legions to duke it out in this all-comers tournament. All right, the visitors in the quarterfinals will meet at MCM London Comic Con itself, competing for the MCM Esports crown in front of a packed audience, held May 24th through the 26th at Excel London. MCM London Comic Con is the largest Comic Con in Europe, with more than 70,000 visitors. Which of our League of Legends team will shine brightest under the spotlight? I'm going to go with the Tea Time dudes, because that was a cool name, Tea Time. Anyways, quarterfinal times will be announced shortly on the official MCM Expo Facebook and Twitter, so keep an eye on their Twitter, which is going to be over at hashtag MCME Sports Twitter tag for their announcements. Yay!
Whoop, whoop.
Woot, woot.
I wish I could breathe. Air would be nice there, Texas. Let me breathe. All right. Throw that trailer up there for me.
Ooh, zombies. Zombies and trends.
Is it that? Did you say zombies?
Ooh. Because music. Here we go.
That's right. All aboard. Zombies and trains is now free on your droid. Norwegian indie developer Dragon Head Games announced that their latest title is now available for free on... Zombies and Trains challenges to defend against the undead menace using the ultimate death machine on wheels. Trains blast through waves of zombies with powerful iron engines and add to the havoc with a number of devastating power-ups. With four game modes and simple controls, Zombies and Trains brings addictive arcade action to mobile devices. Download your ticket to Zombie Smashing Mayhem on the Google Play Store right now. You can choose your challenge, protect the brain trophy in arcade, pulverize zombies in wave mode, see if you can survive a minute of crossing, or initiate a bloodbath in slaughter mode. Create more carnage, set zombies ablaze with fire rails, slow them to a snail's pace, or a nuclear arena.
I never knew you could slaughter hordes of zombies with vibrators on rails.
Stop it, Jay. You can pick up and play pulverizing. Quickly tap on railroads to unleash the crazy trains and crush any zombies in their path. Easy to learn, difficult to master. Zombies and Trains hones and strategy for survival. You can loot the undead, collect golden coins from your on-rails rampage, and use them to level up and unlock more power-ups, achievements, gold, and more. Unlock achievements from racking up combos and level up by completing goals. Again, you can check them out at zombiesandtrains.com. You might, I guess, cover your eyes because Jay is saying it's very, very dirty. This game was done by Dragon Head Games, by two sisters from Norway. Dragon Head Games is an indie developer that hopes to surprise players with awesome games, especially ones about zombies. And again, just two guys did this, so not bad, although they seem to have an obsession with... Yeah.
Oh my God.
Phallic sheep thing.
Oh my God. All right. Oh my God. Okay. So, Facebook got out the ban hammer. Yes, they did. Facebook banned social roulette app. Facebook has blocked an app that lets users play a game of Russian roulette with their Facebook account. The social suicide game was a little too over-the-top for Facebook, apparently. Like the real-world game involving a gun with one bullet in it, the app gives participants a 1-in-6 chance of deleting their Facebook account.
Oh! Who would want to play that?
People who no longer want their Facebook account? Social roulette was brought to the attention of Facebook by an automated system that deals with negative user experience. The social roulette website says the app may suit people looking for the opportunity to start fresh or those just seeking cheap thrills at the expense of your social network. Everyone thinks about deleting their account at some point, and it's a completely normal reaction to the overwhelming nature of digital culture, says the site. While the program makers admit that permanently deleting a Facebook account is challenging, it will do its best to completely remove all your posts, friends, apps, likes, photos, and games before completely deactivating it. I like it. I think more people should use it. I like it. Some of the stuff that I see posted, I'm just like, oh my god.
Okay, on that part, yes, but yeah, I don't think so. Are you gonna play?
I have three accounts.
No. Are you gonna play?
What Russian roulette?
Yes. Are you gonna play that with your accounts?
Well, one of them maybe. Yeah, sure.
Anyway. Notice she's going to pick the one that doesn't have as much stuff on it. I don't care if I lose that one. No.
Well, yeah. All right, so since that was short, can I do another one?
Go there, darling, go.
Thank you. The fifth in grisly mass murder case blames victim and his video gaming habits. Oh, my God. All right, so the murder trial of Chris Harris from Armington, Illinois, began earlier this month in Peoria,
mm-hmm.
Illinois. Harris is accused of murdering Rick and Ruth G. and three of their children with a tire iron in the family's Beacon home in late September 2009. One of the children, a three-year-old girl, survived the attack. Prosecutors laid out what happened after brothers Chris and Jason Harris, intoxicated from a night of drinking and doing cocaine, visited the G. home in search of marijuana. When the trial began, prosecutor Jonathan Wright showed grisly photos from the crime scene and told jurors that Jason Harris will provide testimony against his brother as part of a plea deal, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Where are we getting to the games? They're mentioning the case here because the defense plans to call an expert witness to testify on the effects of violent video games. Are you effing kidding me? The defense claims that Chris Harris did not commit the crime, but instead walked in on one of the victims, 14-year-old Dylan G., as he was murdering his own family. Defense attorney Peter Naylor said in opening remarks at the start of the trial earlier this month that Chris Harris was forced to kill Dylan in self-defense. The defense will call an expert witness that will discuss the effects of violent video games can have on people and plan to try and paint Dylan as an antisocial teen with low grades and a history of violent tendencies.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Part of me is like, that's too crazy to have happened. The other part, I'm going to have to watch the other turns out, because, I mean, if they can... But back to the main point, video games do not make me violent. Stupid people do. Stop it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. That's crazy. That's nuts. I don't even know what to think of that. Of course I had to go there, Joe. Of course I had to go there.
Okay. What is going on? Did y'all hear that?
I did. Your phone just started giving you a...
directions to somewhere. Apparently it wanted to give me directions, and it's now rerouting. I've been having some weird things going on with all my gadgets today. You notice our site's doing crazy stuff today, too. Fix it. So I'm sitting here looking back and forth going, what is going on? Did something happen? Did I miss something? All right. Okay, so we need to do some more news. All right. I'm not sure if we can show this trailer. They didn't give it to us anyway. But I'll tell you about the game. It's called Dark. It's from Calypso Media. We told you about Dark before, didn't we? Yes, we did.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we don't... Wait a minute. Why do they do this? They send us weird links. You can go here to get a trailer, and then it's not there. Or my favorite, this trailer's private. Okay, yeah, they just sent another trailer. I found out where they put it. What is wrong with people? Calypso, you're not supposed to be crazy. Let me give this to Ginger so she can show it while I tell you all about Dark, which I am anxious to play because it's about vampires. You all know how I love vampires, right? Okay, so a new trailer is released for Dark, the upcoming vampire-themed stealth action title for Xbox 360, and an entertainment, also for Windows PC, I'm sorry. In the new trailer, you get a close-up look at several of the vampire powers available to you as the newly turned vampire Eric Bane. That's quite a name. Watch as Eric hypnotizes unsuspecting guards to slip past him or deliver a deadly strike. Or you can use regeneration to convert the blood of your enemies to health points. You can watch a new video to learn more about these and other stealth-focused powers featured in Dark with Calypso Media, for which Calypso Media said they will be releasing coming summer to your Xbox and PC.
Oh, this is the one that we liked last time we watched this, so the video kept skipping. This time it seems to be loading a little bit better.
Yes. Look at that. Look at him. Oh, man. Yeah, we were all going crazy about the visuals. It is lovely.
Yeah. It is.
The more I see it, the more excited I get. I may have to add this to my list. And again, this is a stealth action game with RPG elements, so if that's not your genre, don't pick it up and be like, this game sucks, I just wanted to shoot people and bite them. Okay, no, you have to stalk them from the shadows. You use your vampire abilities to attack and dispose of them silently. And there's a mystery behind something, omnipresent, powerful global conglomerate called GeoForge, and you must continually improve your character, much like an RPG. To develop your skills, to help you to remain unobserved or silent. Mm-hmm. Or you can silence those that take an interest in you, that notice you.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I like the fact that he can bite. I've been dying for a game where I could bite some people. Now, they just give me an inch. The only thing I love as much as cutting is biting. So I love it. If they would put this in an MMORPG where I could just bite random people.
That's true. Corey's always trying to bite me. Always.
I just want to pull your hair. Oh, God. Did you see the face palm? The backwards face palm he did?
Wow. This is some sort of business right here.
Man, I can't wait to play this. I need... CCP, when are you going to be finished with the Vampire the Masquerade game? Because I'm pretty sure when I play that, I will be able to bite people. Because I'm just going to turn a bunch of people all at once. Ginger's going to be playing. She's going to be human. And I'll be like, girl, I'm not going to hurt you. When she turn around, bite!
What?
Bite snow? But all of y'all just bite. Y'all gonna be my vampire minions.
Y'all see this? No love for the djinn. No love for the djinn.
Love for you because I'm trying to keep you alive forever.
But I'm scared. I'm scared, Corey. I'm scared.
But you ain't scared. Don't be lying. Don't be lying.
All right. So
we got time for one more. Do it.
Oh, hey, it is about that time. The World of Tanks just got a whole lot cuter.
Oh.
Vice Digital is pleased to announce that War of Human Tanks from developer Yakiniku and localization company Fruit Bat Factory has released on Rice Digital, available to download from Rice Digital Store. War of the Human Tanks is one of the most... War of the Human Tanks is one of the most compelling strategy games to emerge from Japan, blending charm and humor with a core strategy experience that sure satisfies even veteran tactical geeks. Behind the excellent story-driven campaign lies a strategic tour de force as you pit your team of human tanks against opposing officers on the battlefield. Hard-fought strategies will allow you to upgrade and optimize your units to the best tactical advantage. Fast-paced strategic battles in over 30 maps, turn resources earned into newly developed weapons and upgrades. Customize your tanks to create your own personal army that functions how you want it to. Story campaign with multiple endings depending on your performance. New game plus style campaign where replaying allows you to keep earned units and resources. And localized version includes bonus maps and new backgrounds and a more elegant interface. There are two versions of War of the Human Tanks available on Rice Digital. A standard digital download and the deluxe edition, which contains the sound of the humans. Which contains the sound of the human tanks, an excellent bonus track. Yay! Alright, so. War of Human Tanks is available for download now for $8.99 francs, Linden's dollars, whatever the L sign is, and $10.99, I think that's euros actually, for the deluxe edition. Yay! And that's over at ricedigital.co.uk. Human tanks. All right. Well,
humans?
I never.
Why would we want to play?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to have to do it because we got enough time. I'm reluctant to do it because, as we all know, I hate Raymond. But some of you like yourselves some Assassin's Creed. If you put your $5 down for Rayman Legends, pre-order, you UK people at Game, you'll get one of three new character skins. Depending on the game's platform, PlayStation 3 owners get hero Rayman dressed as badass pirate assassin Edward Kenway. He being the start of this year's Assassin's Creed 4. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Why didn't we get a girl? Xbox 360 fans get Rayman dressed as spy agent Sam Fisher, as he's seen in the upcoming Splinter Cell Blacklist, which I am not getting because Sam and I broke up. Wii U fans will get Rayman's sidekick Barbara dressed as Aveline de Grandplay. Did I say that right? The heroine of Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation on the PlayStation Vita. Ubisoft has also revealed some new footage of the game, which I will not be sharing with you because I may gag and throw up. I hate that game. You know, I used to try to hide it. I hate it. I will not hide it. I cannot hide the hatred anymore. I hate it. Oh, why? Why do you make... Ugh.
I don't know. I know. Because they want to annoy you.
That's not annoying. That's sickening.
Poor Corey. Where are all my windows disappearing to? Come back here.
Well, it is about time for us to go anyway.
It is, folks. It is Wednesday. No show tonight, but we do have a show tomorrow morning and tomorrow night.
That is absolutely correct, darling. We will be here. We have so much to talk about, namely this whole thing with the sex and the Tamagotchis and plastic guns, and ooh, it's gonna be juicy tomorrow. Oh, we may run over if we get too heated.
It's gonna be a good one tomorrow night. I can't wait.
All right, you know what? I should probably play some music. I'm talking about we're leaving, and I'm just sitting here.
I know, right? I was like, what are we doing?
Are we leaving or are we not leaving? I'm sorry. It's just that they have these purses. I'm sorry. We'll talk about that later.
Let's go.
Later, boys and girls.